How fantastic is it, week by week, as we've been going through this creed, this series, and reciting the creed together, how much it is that these words work deep into our heart, and how something new grabs me every time we recite it together as a church. If you got a Bible, please open it up to Ephesians chapter 2. If you got a Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. And boy, we sure are blessed to be part of a community with so many brilliant ministries and beautiful people here that make up our community. Hey, I am really excited to be opening up God's Word as we explore His vision for church. But boy, we sure are blessed to be part of End Church here in West End. All right, so Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get stuck into it this morning. Please join with me in prayer. We come before you, Lord, each with our own needs, our own desires, questions, even fears. Help us to lay all of these and more at your feet as you minister to our hearts through your word and spirit. Amen. Well, one of my very first memories ever comes from a Sunday morning at church. I couldn't have been more than a toddler. My mom was holding me in her arms during worship. I had my head resting on her chest. And as she was singing, I could feel the humming sensation of her voice against my face. It's a picture, a memory that has stuck with me all these years. And not just the picture of it, but the feeling that came with it as well. I felt safe. I felt loved. And honestly, some of my best memories come from life in the church. The joy of deep fellowship with God's people, the unmistakable sense of God's Spirit moving among us, the way pastors and leaders over the years have shaped and molded me to be the follower of Jesus I am today. But if I'm honest, some of my deepest hurts have also come through the church. I've been the subject of rumors. I have felt the sting of rejection. I've had to face my own sin, the times where I myself have hurt others or let them down too. And in a way, those two experiences I've just described really do sum up the Christian life in the church age. See, on the one hand, we are the people of Jesus, called out of the world, gathered together as saints and citizens of heaven. And so naturally, we begin to taste the beauty and the blessing of belonging to God's family. But on the other hand, we live in the now and not yet of God's kingdom, meaning, although we are absolutely saved by grace, we still experience the brokenness of sin, don't we? We're still slow to forgive our brothers and sisters. We are inconsistent in living out the gospel. And when those hurts cut deep, and they do, or even when we see the scandals or the dysfunction of the church sort of splashed across the news, it's no surprise that more and more people are ditching, you know, so-called organized religion and choosing instead to identify as spiritual, not religious. Right? Spiritual, not religious. And maybe you've even wondered the same thing here today. I don't know everyone's story, so maybe you've experienced or wondered the same thing. Would we be better off without the church? Right? Well, this is precisely where the Nicene Creed comes in today and speaks life into our experiences. The Creed declares, we believe in one holy, universal, and apostolic church. See, after confessing who God is, what he's done for us in Christ Jesus, how he's poured out his Spirit, the creed now turns to what that means for us as God's people. Like, how does this life play out practically? And the very first thing the creed declares about our new life is this: we believe in church. We don't just go to church. We aren't just part of a church. We believe in it. So here's a question I want to explore today. It's pretty simple. Why bother with church? Why bother with it? Or to put it another way, why should I go to church? Why should I go to church? What's so important about this group of people that you see sitting around you who are gathering here on a Sunday morning here in West End? Why should I go to church? So we're exploring. I'll give you three reasons why. This is what we'll be looking at this morning. Three reasons why we gather together as God's people. Number one, for the sake of the world. Number two, for the sake of one another. And number three, for the sake of your soul. Okay? So for the sake of the world, for the sake of one another, for the sake of you yourself, your soul. It's for these almost impossibly brilliant and beautiful reasons that we church. All right, let's push into them a bit more deeply now. Number one, we gather together for the sake of the world. And this is from Ephesians 2. We gather together for the sake of the world. That is, as we gather together to proclaim the good news of Jesus, God draws his people out of the world and into his family. Right? As we gather to proclaim the gospel, God gathers people. He draws them out of the world and gathers them into his family. Now, I grew up in Canada, went to a fairly large church, and my pastor loved recycling his jokes. And about once a year, he would recycle this one. Went something like this. One Sunday morning, a mother goes to wake up her son for church. "Get up. It's time to go to church, son," she says. "But Mom, I don't want to go. The sermons are boring. Nobody likes me. I just don't feel like it." And the mom says, "Son, you have to go to church." And the son replies, "Give me one good reason why." And the mom crosses her arms and says, "Because, son, you're the pastor." Now, I don't know what my pastor was trying to communicate in recycling that joke, but this joke, it really does highlight the challenge that all of us face when it comes to gathering together every Sunday morning. See, in our modern Western world, we tend to make decisions based on one fairly simple question: what's in it for me? We tend to gravitate toward whatever gives us the most pleasure or enjoyment in life with the least amount of discomfort or effort. Now, look, that's just the way our culture has discipled us. It's the air we breathe. But what that means sometimes is that this same mindset can creep into the Sunday gathering. And I know you've thought this for yourself before. You think, you know, I can get better coffee at the shop down the road. I can listen to world-class preachers online. I can worship along to my favorite bands on Spotify. And bonus, I don't even have to get out of my pajamas. Why can't I just do church on my own? Well, the short answer to that is because, friends, that's not church. As much as I myself love a good iced latte and a Tim Keller sermon on my morning walk, that is not God's grand vision for his church. See, the word church, it's an interesting one, actually. It wasn't always a religious word. The word church simply means gathering. That is, to gather together. But more literally, it means to be called out of something for the purpose of gathering. So, for example, ancient Greek people, right, the time when the New Testament was being written, ancient Greek people, they used this word to describe the equivalent of their town hall meetings, okay? So citizens, they were called out of their homes for the purpose of gathering in the public square. It'd be kind of like if the Lord Mayor of Brisbane gets on the airwaves and says, "Hey, Brisbane citizens, we are having church this Tuesday in order to discuss the use of e-scooters in our city," right? That's how the word was originally used. But as the New Testament writers began putting language to what was happening week in and week out, as God's people met to break bread and sing songs and preach the gospel, they reached for the word church. Why? It's because the word church beautifully summed up what God was doing in Christ Jesus. That is, calling us out of the world in order to gather together as the new people of Jesus. Okay? And that's the big idea behind our first Bible passage we're going to dig into today. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a bit of a wall of text behind me. Let me just sort of summarize the first few verses there. In verse 11, we're called Gentiles in the flesh, okay? Meaning, verse 12, that we were once cut off from God's promises and cut off from each other without hope in this world, okay? But now, verse 13, the beauty of what God's done in Jesus is he is uniting all people to himself and to each other. And from verse 14 onward, this is happening across ethnic boundaries that up until this point were insurmountable without the cross. Okay? In other words, we would summarize this by saying, God is tearing down the walls that divide us as people, so that, verse 16, he can rebuild us as one body in Christ. Okay? Now, here's the payload for us from verse 19. There it is. So then, you and church, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, his church, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, in Christ, the whole building, that's us, is being put together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, in Christ, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit, to be the dwelling place of God, right? So here's what it's saying. Why do we gather? We gather together simply to be one people. We meet in the flesh because God gave us bodies. We meet with particular people in particular places, the local church, because it's here that we're being built together into God's holy household, filled with his Holy Spirit. In other words, the church is the new dwelling place of God. It's where his Spirit lives. And as we gather, we actually reflect God's perfect plan for humanity to majestically bring diverse people like you and me together into unity under Jesus. And that's what the Creed is pointing to when it speaks of the church as one and holy. Right? To say the church is one means that though we are many members, we are united together as a single body in Christ Jesus. To say the church is holy means that we are set apart, called out of the world for God's purposes. And church, can I put it to you that this is incredibly attractive to a watching world, to a watching world. So I'll give you an example of this. A few years ago, during COVID, there was a young man living on the south side who received a food box that my old church put together. Now, this young man, he came from a country where it was illegal, or it is illegal, to be a Christian or to even talk about the Bible, let alone own one. And he was so touched that a Christian church would look after him during COVID that he wanted to meet the people behind the food drive. And what he found when he came along to the food drive was a community of Christians from all different backgrounds right around the world who were keen to welcome him in. And so as soon as we relaunched our Sunday gatherings, he came along. At church that night, he heard the gospel proclaimed literally for the very first time, literally for the first time as an adult. And he kept coming back because of what he saw. Do you know what that was? He said that at church, everyone's faces were glowing. And so he kept coming back week after week, and not long after that, became a Christian, put his faith in Jesus. Do you see the connection there? You might notice music that's maybe not quite your style, or preaching that doesn't always land with you, or a service that's shaped by other people's strengths and limits. But underneath it all is something extraordinary, right? It is the one holy church at work, the citizens and saints of heaven called out of the world, gathered together in Christ, empowered by his Holy Spirit, and then being sent out to proclaim the good news to those who are in need. And so for us, need I remind you, as Pastor Glenn loves to do, we are a Pentecostal church. Amen. Do you remember in Acts chapter 2 why God poured out his Spirit on the church at Pentecost? It's for the purpose of global mission, wasn't it? It was in order for this group of scared, perhaps slightly misguided men and women to take the gospel message to the far corners of the world, literally to the ends of the earth, right? And so for us, you know, when we're getting ready for church on a Sunday morning, we need to have this same mindset about us. Because here in Australia, we are privileged to have the ends of the earth come to us, right? We live in such a beautiful multicultural city. And studies show that in Australia, at least, the Sunday gathering is still the primary way that our neighbors come into contact with the gospel. And so let's have that mindset every time we're getting ready for church, that through the Sunday gathering, God is drawing people out of the world and into his family. I mean, just imagine who you might meet this week, right? Imagine how God might use End Church as a safe landing pad for those who are coming out of the world here in West End and beyond. Imagine how our presence might be able to turn this very city upside down, all right? That's the first reason we gather together. We gather for the sake of the world, for the purpose of world mission. Number two, we gather together for the sake of one another. For the sake of one another. This is from Ephesians 4. Flip ahead two chapters to Ephesians chapter 4. We gather together for the sake of one another. That is, as we gather together, God works through each and every member to help one another grow into maturity in Christ. Now, a couple years ago, the World Health Organization launched their Commission on Social Connection. So they noticed that as societies have become hyper-connected through internet and technology, the ironic side effect has been a people who are more lonely and isolated than ever before. And that's not just a young person's problem. It was an issue of the issue of loneliness and isolation right up through the ages. And as a result of this study, the World Health Organization, the WHO, has declared loneliness and isolation a global public health crisis. Loneliness, says the organization, is a pressing global health threat as deadly as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Right? Wow. Loneliness is as deadly as chain smoking. Right? How grateful are we for men like Lai in our church who are going out there on the streets just to chat to people, hey? Give them a space to vent. Now, there are some obviously complex social and cultural reasons behind the loneliness epidemic, absolutely, and there's no silver bullet to it either. But one of the reasons why cultivating healthy community is so difficult is because community doesn't come cheaply. It doesn't come cheaply. To truly belong, you have to commit. You have to narrow down all the possible relationships you could have in order to give yourself to the people you do have. But that's where we get stuck. We want the warmth of community without the cost of commitment. We cling so tightly to our personal freedoms, or even we're so paralyzed by the fear of missing out that we end up missing out on the very thing our souls need the most, which is, simply put, just a place to belong, really. And that's why the Nicene Creed, it speaks so powerfully into our cultural moment, because after confessing the Father, Son, and Spirit, it immediately declares we believe in the church. Why? It's because the gospel doesn't just reconcile us to God, it reconciles us to one another. And can I put it to you that this is the community that our restless hearts are aching for? So not just a sort of shallow or fleeting connection or even intimacy that you can find online, but a Spirit-filled, Christ-centered, cross-shaped community, a people who belong to Jesus and therefore belong to one another. Tim Keller, he was a pastor over in New York City, he had this to say about community. He says, many people who are spiritually searching have had bad experiences with churches, right? We've experienced that. Everyone has. So they want nothing further to do with them. They are interested in a relationship with God, but not if they have to be part of an organization. But, Keller goes on to say, there is no way you'll be able to grow spiritually apart from a deep involvement in a community of other believers. You can't live the Christian life without a band of Christian friends, without a family of believers in which you find a place, only if you're part of a community of believers seeking to resemble, serve, and love Jesus, will you ever get to know him and grow into his likeness. Why is that? Well, I think one of the reasons why is because Scripture gives us about 50 or 60 one another passages, right? Love one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, welcome one another, honor one another, the list goes on. But how can we be living out these one another's unless we're committed to a local church? Like, so, for example, how can I forgive you if I never see you? How can I bear your burdens if I don't know what they are? How can I fulfill God's vision for his church if I'm only popping in once a month or even, you know, visiting a different church each week? Do you see? The local church is the primary context where the one another's of Scripture happen. And here's the key. They are reciprocal, right? Church isn't just about you encouraging me. It's about me encouraging you. That's exactly how God designed his body to grow. And that's the grand vision behind this second Bible passage for today, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. I'll put it up on the screen behind me. Starting in verse 11. I might need some help. Oh, there we go. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, and he himself, that's God himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Let me pause there. My job as a pastor, Pastor Glenn's job as your pastor, is not to be doing the ministry himself or ourselves. It's to equip you to do God's ministry, the work of ministry. If you're a Christian here today, you are, by definition, a minister. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. Do you see that? You are responsible for helping one another grow into maturity. Here's how, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who's the head, that's Christ. From him, the whole body, that's us, the church, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, that's you, your ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. It's a brilliant metaphor, isn't it? This is how God has designed his body to grow, through the proper working of each individual. All of you here in this room this morning, as you and I give and receive the gifts God has given us, his church, we grow into maturity in Christ. I remember last year, I was mentoring a young lad up the coast, and you know, we'd walk up and down the beach talking about God and life and current struggles, and I'd like to believe that what I was saying was getting through to him, but yeah, I wasn't always so sure. But then one day, I had the opportunity to bring him to church, And we sit down next to an older gentleman, and after the service, my mate, he opens up to him. And after listening for a while, this gentleman responds. And if I'm being honest, he said pretty much everything I had been saying for the previous months and months and months. But he said it with just the right words, right? Just the right life experience behind it. Really, just the right gifting from God. It was as if in that moment, Christ's light finally broke through and shone into my mate's heart. But that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it shouldn't surprise us at least. Because when God saves us into his church, he doesn't just save us into this particular location or local expression. Rather, we are brought into the universal church. That is, we get to enjoy the benefits and blessings of all God's people right around the globe, down through the ages. That's what the Creed confesses when it celebrates the church as universal. Church is the ultimate social network, connecting us with all God's people right through eternity. And so again, you know, when Sunday morning rolls around and we're, you know, stuck getting out of bed, or maybe we're just not feeling it, have this in mind. Have this in mind. Your brothers and sisters here at End Church. I mean, as crazy as it may sound, you just might be the very thing they need today, right? And for the rest of us, as Pastor Glenn always reminds us, and he did again this morning, this Sunday gathering is not the main game, right? This is the locker room where we get pumped up and sent out to love and serve one another. And so just take a moment and think, who is someone here in this room this morning that you might be able to grab some time with this week? You know, maybe go for a coffee or for a walk or share a meal together. Just someone in our church community here that you might be able to ask, you know, how are you going with Jesus? How's faith? What's been difficult? Someone that you can be experiencing, expressing the one another's with this week, okay? That's the second reason we gather. We gather for the sake of one another, because as we gather, God works through each of us to help one another grow into maturity in Christ. Amen? Great. Number three, final one, last one. We gather together for the sake of your soul. So this from Hebrews chapter 10. So flip over, New Testament. If you've hit Revelation, you've gone too far. You're all just pulling out phones anyway, so just type it in. Hebrews chapter 10. As we gather together, we experience the godly accountability and the loving help that we need to keep going in the faith, right? As we gather, we experience everything we need to keep going in the faith. I'm gonna be vulnerable for a minute. I am really good at signing up to the gym. I am not really good at going to the gym. One time I signed on to a gym. A lot of men are giving me the no. Thank you. I don't feel so alone anymore. This would be my vent tent story. No, but if I'm honest, one time I signed on to a gym that locked me into a 2-year contract. I thought, this is great, right? It'll force me to go. It didn't. After about 9 months of wasted fortnightly payments, I faked a lease contract, rental contract, told them I was moving, and got out of my gym membership. All right? Not proud of it, but I could pass the mic around, and you know, I'm sure you could share stories you're not proud of. I know Pastor Glenn loves going to the gym, don't you, Pastor Glenn? I know this because a couple weeks ago, I bumped into Glenn on his way to his gym, bumped into him. Do you know why? Do you know what I was doing? I was standing in line to get a donut, all right? But since moving into West End, I have signed back onto the gym. Why? So I can look as good as Pastor Glenn. Amen. All God's people said? Great, 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 great. I go to the gym now because I want to have gone to the gym, right? I want to be the person who's been at the gym. I want the results of the gym and all the health benefits that come with it. And look, 9 times out of 10, I actually do enjoy the gym when I've overcome that initial resistance to the gym. Now, can I put it to you that for some of us here this morning, this might have to be the kind of mindset that you adopt when it comes to church. That is, even if you don't want to go to church, you should want to have gone to church. Does that make sense? I want to be the person that church is forming me to be. I want to have all the health benefits of having been at church. I want to be and become the person that our imperfect, sure, but gloriously beautiful family is shaping me to be, right? And I know from my own experience that even on those Sundays when it's difficult, I'm always glad I went. In fact, look, it's a bit heavy to say, but the Bible has no concept of a churchless Christian. It was an oxymoron. To be a Christian is to be saved into the church. And this is for our good. Okay, this is for our good. We are not, because what it means is we are not lonely pilgrims on individual journeys to heaven. Rather, God has given us his church. And it's as we march forward together that we're able to press on in the faith. And really, this is the big idea behind our final passage for today from Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, says the pastor to the Hebrews, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Now here's our key verse, verse 25, not neglecting to gather together, right? Not neglecting to church, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it's really comforting to know that even in the first century, people who have literally walked with Jesus struggled to get to church. Right? But don't fall into that habit, says the passage of the Hebrews. Why? Because your discipleship is grounded in the Sunday gathering. It's as we come together to sing, pray, encourage, confess, correct, sit under God's word that we all find the help and the resources that we need to keep these wandering hearts safe and secure in Christ. In other words, we neglect the local church at our own peril. Now, look, if anyone has firsthand experience with this stuff, it's me, okay? So you are in safe hands this morning, right? I'm not trying to cause any problems for anyone here. And I know I've shared this story before, but it's worth repeating here on this topic. See, after Caroline and I got married, we had to leave the country, blah, 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 visa reasons. I know, I've shared that a lot. So we spent half a year overseas, and then when we came back to Australia, we spent last year up on the Sunshine Coast. And on the one hand, it truly was an awesome opportunity to see what God was doing through his local church, literally right around the world. But on the other hand, this also made it really tricky for us to really find a church we could stick with, to belong to. It was so much easier just to tune in online, have, you know, pajama church, or even just skip church altogether, lay out on the beach. But without a real church family to belong to, what I recognized in my own self was that my spiritual life slowly started thinning out. Right? I had little encouragement. I had low accountability when it came to matters of faith. No one to bear our burdens. But then all that changed when we joined End Church. Being here week by week has filled up all that had been lacking, right? It's the place we've been renewed and refreshed. The way I know I've described it before, it was like getting a vitamin C shot to the soul, right? But again, that shouldn't surprise us, because this church, the church, it's not a man-made invention. It's not a social club. It is the very mission of Jesus himself, yeah? And he gathers us together for the sake of our souls. All right, so here's how we're going to wrap up. Taking our cue from the book of Hebrews, I want to push into a few reasons why we ourselves might be in the habit of neglecting church to gather together, and what sort of hope or encouragement we find that God gives to those of us who are struggling with that, okay? So let's start with the simplest one, our health. Sometimes we... I think there's another, let's just keep it up like that. Sometimes we can't gather together because of genuine physical limits, right? Maybe we're sick, or we're caring for someone who's sick or has particular needs. Maybe we've just had a baby, or maybe it's just one of those seasons in life, right? We've all been there. And if that's you, or if you're listening in after this, because maybe you've, you know, catching up online, I want to begin by saying that God knows your situation, all right? God knows your situation. You're no less Christian for attending church. In fact, there's a bit of divine comedy in having this talk during the holidays, school holidays, when a lot of people are away, right? It's not a sin to miss church. But here's the thing. Even if you can't gather in the regular way, if there is something keeping you away from the gathering of God's people, you still need the Word of God and the people of God to keep following Jesus faithfully, okay? So please let us know how it is we as a community might be able to support you, walk with you in this season, keep you encouraged and connected, and when the time is right, to also help, you know, transition you back to the Sunday gathering. That's the first reason. Second issue why we might be in the habit of neglecting church gathering together is our head. You know, sometimes our minds just get in the way, whether it's fatigue or stress or anxiety or even just the mental load of life, right? When our heads are full, church feels like the easiest thing to drop. But I'd put it to you, it's exactly the time when we need it the most. Have you ever watched those nature documentaries where, you know, you see the pack of wildebeest all moving together and there's those lions prowling around on the edges? Which are the animals that get picked off first? So it's always the ones that stray from the pack, isn't it? And Scripture says that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Point being is, don't make yourself an easy target, right? Stay close to the herd. Stay close to God's people. And then finally, last one there, your heart. Then there's the heart, the deepest reason why we might neglect to gather together. You know, sometimes our hearts, they grow tired or distracted, or maybe we slip into the habit of pajama church, a hard one to break. Maybe you've decided that with podcasts and live streams, you don't really need a local church, or even, as we've already said, maybe community is just too messy, and I get that, I really do. But can I say that without the giving and receiving of God's gifts in the local church, the Bible's really clear that you can't expect to grow healthy and strong. Church, the sermon that you need most this week isn't from a stranger online. It's from the pastor who knows you and prays for you and speaks God's word into your life and into the life of your community. And the people that you need most right now are not perfect Christians on the internet, but the ordinary brothers and sisters sitting right here who will walk with you, encourage you, and even carry you when your faith feels weak. In fact, that's what the Creed confesses when it describes the church as apostolic. I think I have a slide for that there, Jean. If you can give me a hand. There it is. Thank you. It means that we submit to Scripture's authority as faithfully taught by our pastors who pass on the gospel message that they first received from the apostles, which we find in God's word, the Bible, right? As together we strive to live under God's truth. Finally, of course, there is one more reason why your heart might prevent you from coming to church. It's that maybe you've never explored Jesus for yourself or the claims of Christianity. And so church has understandably seemed pointless. And if that's you here today, welcome. I want to be the first one to say welcome. We are really glad you're here. I hope that something of what I've said maybe given you one reason why it's worth coming back next week. See, one of the challenges we all face when it comes to exploring Christianity is what it might reveal about our own hearts. I had a friend once who refused to step foot in a church because he was scared the roof would cave in on him. You know, his mere presence would invoke instant judgment. That's a common feeling. We feel unworthy, as though God wouldn't want us. And yet those few verses in Hebrews say the opposite, don't they? Through Jesus' death and resurrection, God cleanses our hearts and he washes us pure. Now you can boldly come into the presence of God fully welcomed, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus has done for you. And he now calls all of us, maybe even you here today, who are weary and burdened, to find rest in him. All right? So, why should we go to church? The short answer is because church is the house that Jesus is building. It's here that God is gathering his people from out of the world in order to build us up into maturity in Christ and give us every resource we need to keep going in the faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you have not left us alone to wander in our darkness. But through your Holy Spirit, you've caused our hearts to come alive, taking us out of the kingdom of darkness and into your glorious light. And Lord God, we are the first to confess that we are not a perfect people, nor are we a perfect community, and yet we are being perfected because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has washed us clean, who is guiding us, leading us, loving us. And we believe that this work that Jesus has begun in us, we will come to see the fullness and the beauty of it on the last day. We meet you face to face, and we enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is when we, your bride, the church, meets our bridegroom, Jesus, and get to enjoy that perfect, intimate, beautiful fellowship forever and ever and ever. And so, Lord, now those who are here this morning who are feeling the weight of the world or the messiness of church, Lord, would you draw near to us, comfort us by your Spirit, draw us to your side, and reconcile us to one another that we might be a glorious testimony of who you are and all you're doing here in our world for the sake of your glory, for the sake of your honor, for the sake of your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.